I think I'm on.
Right. I just want to make sure the direction of this thing.
I am wired. I want to tell you something. I had a dream two nights ago that I fell apart. Fell apart. And actually, it was a lot worse than my dream. It was a nightmare. And I thought it was symbolic. Well, anyhow, I want to just finish with that one idea of... somebody remind me. Yes. Okay. As we tune our hearts to the greater, to a greater perception. Now, our hearts is a sense. Did you know that? Of course, you knew that because you've heard Pat McClure. And our hearts, you know, have a greater field of electromagnetic energy than our brains do. If you measure them, it's a much larger field. And at times we can allow our hearts to really do like electrons do, communicate at a distance, instantaneously. I went on a 10-day silent retreat in the woods up there, and we weren't allowed to communicate with our spouses for that time unless it was an emergency. And so ahead of time, Don and I made an appointment at 6 a.m. we would connect. And I would say, more than not, I was conscious of the connection at that time. I'm not sure what would have happened if we didn't make the appointment at 6 a.m., but there was actually some energy and content got transferred. I'm not sure what he's doing today right now on the the golf field, but Ross says that as we direct our energy to that beyond our immediate field, we begin to experience God almost like a force field. Force fields in our experience are like gravitation or electromagnetic field. Gravity, does that ring a bell for you right now? Gravity 3, I guess physicists were just given the Nobel Peace Prize for having been part of a large group that developed a system that could measure or note the gravitational field in the universe. Okay? And they were able to have 3 locations in which they were able to get the shiver of a gravitational disruption, which they concluded by means far beyond my understanding were 2 black holes coming together to form 1 big mother of a black hole. But we are already within that force field. Ross says, as I grow older, faith for me has been a daily readiness to allow and to trust the force field. To allow and to trust that force field. You might have to go to some physics books to get some idea of it. But they have oodles of books written for the ordinary reader in which they have no equations. Earlier on, I was going to mention to you the threeness of Newtonian equations. So many of the equations in the Newton world, you know, way back, were things like distance equals rate times time. You know, E equals I times R, electricity equals current times resistance. You know, all of these wonderful little triads, threenesses, delightful threenesses. And then Einstein comes up with the mother of all three ones, E equals mc squared. That is like an incredible equation, because it's E is energy, you know, like a force field is energy. You know, it's invisible but not unfeelable. Our eyes don't do too well with it. But E equals mass. That's the mass of not just our planet, but the whole thing, times C squared, which is the square of the speed of light. Okay, it's a constant, but it's what a constant. The force field is something that, as we develop our bodily sense, it's good to know about. I told my husband the other day that I really want to rent Star Wars again. I only have vague memories of the force be with you, much less as Cindy told us the bar scene. I remember it way back there. I haven't seen it lately. Okay, there's one other thing before I have questions here I want to mention, and that is one of my teachers is Pema Chodron. I think I'm pronouncing it right. She has many wonderful books out, but she, in one of them, sums up Buddhism to gratitude and compassion, and so says that, you know, if you can get a handle on those, that'll see you through. So as I was starting the program with gratitude, and we did it through your quote, I'm going to end, when it's close to the time, with compassion. So I'm going to ask you to start to allow yourself to feel compassion for as large a circle as you can today, to feel compassion. But please don't omit yourself, because I think we find, if we're honest, that we most likely need compassion for ourselves more to even begin, to allow ourselves to experience that compassion for ourselves. So I know there are going to be comments and questions. I'm looking forward to them. I heard some of them in the middle of the break. Please come up. You do not have to ask a question. You can come and share an experience of today, of yesterday, or any time. Just come on up. I won't recognize you. Martha, I'm sorry, I know. Maureen. Well, good. Yay for the early bird.
I'm just wondering, you put Ann Weiser's name up here.
Oh, thank you.
I'm just wondering who she is.
Ann Weiser started with Gentlin to do focusing in 1972. And she has been really central in... she lives in the Bay Area somewhere, in teaching modes. And I got on her site and I found, I would say, a half a dozen YouTubes of her teaching a segment of it. If you've not discovered yet how to find a YouTube of a lecture, you know, and they let you know if it's 15 minutes or an hour, so you can pick and choose according to your time. I watched about an hour of her, and she still has her stuff. And so she is having, I could not find that just before I came here yesterday when I looked through, but she's having three free workshops through online connection. Now, did I not find them because they're closed now, or did I not find them because of a lack of skill? But get Ann Weiser's focusing line, and you know, you just need to use the keywords and they'll pop up for you. If you have your computer on right now, you might be able to find them. Okay. Tony. Yes, Tony. Thank you.
Well, I'm going back to what we were trying to do about compassion.
Yes.
Okay.
Go close.
Oh, okay. Is this okay? Anyway, talking about what did God want to tell us or whatever in the beginning.
Yes.
Well, mine came out as, you are a good person, and every other person is also a good person. Now, that's pretty broad.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd share that with you.
Mm-hmm. But it was what came unbidden.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah. And that's why it is important. Mm-hmm. One reason it's important.
And I think
timely.
Yes, very timely. And I think it also covers the area of toxic shame that you talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really is nice because these things crop up sometimes and they're
mm-hmm.
hard to extinguish. So, mm-hmm. and this also reminds me of the Buddhist, it also reminds me of the compassion of the little mantra or whatever I do for that I was taught by my Buddhist teacher, which is starts out with yourself, may I be happy and peaceful.
Yes.
And then anyone you know, may so and so be happy and peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
And then you continue and finish with may all beings be happy
mm-hmm.
and peaceful. And that's the that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes, Catherine.
I wanted to remind all of us, in spring, Dawn talked about focusing and let us in an exercise, which Tom has graciously put up on our web in the second half, so you can go and you can experience focusing, because she led us through a whole process of focusing
mm-hmm.
and indeed talks about this focusing process in more depth. So I have been practicing the focusing and actually learned it from Fathers Ed and Pete back in the day and then lost touch with it. But what focusing is, and I think it's similar to meditation or how I hold it, is when we go inward, however that silencing stillness process is for us, we're kind of making ourselves a chalice. We're moving away the concerns and the worry and the conscious stuff we know. And even as a meditator, you're still quieting the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're emptying that chalice in a way. And you're receptive for, and I'm reminded of let go, let God, right?
Mm-hmm.
In that process, let
mm-hmm.
go, let God, because we're open for that infilling of the divine. And it could come from a realization, like you said, of something we had happen to us. But it is a contact point for us and the divine. And the felt sense aspect of the focusing is we feel it in our bodies, which is not so cerebral.
Mm-hmm.
It can kind of break that, well, if he said that. So I encourage all of us to remember how generous you were to share that process. And if you want to know more about it, you have a whole 2 hours of Dawn leading you and having that experience again and again. And I play it every day, Dawn's voice.
Wow.
Yeah, I went and had high blood pressure. I was going for a procedure. And she said, oh, my gosh, you know. And I thought, and I heard Dawn's voice in my head. You know, I just heard her in my head saying, you know, not to evaluate, no need to. And that blood pressure shot right down. So if you suffer from high blood pressure, try Dawn's method. So what you do is you go to our Word and Life site, awordandlife.us, then you go to calendar, then you go to recordings, right, Tom? And it'll bring up the schedule, and you'll see Don George. It's the seventh one of spring 2017, and you just click. Tom has them all. You click on there. You can listen to it on your computer. You can listen to it on your phone. You can listen to it on your iPad. If you don't have those things, I don't know what you do, but...
Well,
2017, but it's up.
It was...
Oh, it is up?
Oh, it's on there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No.
Okay. Spring 2017. Yeah, and it may
but
not
it
be labeled
that. But it was in 1916.
Okay.
I mean, 2016.
No, I think it was 2017.
I didn't present then. Did I? Oh, maybe I did. Maybe I did. Yes, I did. Yeah. Oh, good. Look at all of this.
Sorry.
Well, just this sort of standish, you know. Yeah. Go on. Yeah, to Jackie.
Okay. In the beginning, in our beginning meditation, I sat there and closed my eyes and sat there and sat there. Nothing happened. And I thought, well, God doesn't have a word for me today. But just thinking that thought, all of a sudden a sort of a field of green came across underneath my eyelids. And appropriately enough, what he had to say for me was, live in your heart. And with the green. And I'd be that immediately brought me back to the feeling I had had driving over here. I had had a sudden feeling of lightness and joy, and for no particular reason. I mean, one doesn't usually get that on 101, but I felt as if I were seeing a light, but it had no color. There was just an effervescence. And so putting that together with Gurdjieff's law of three, I have put together green and light equals growth. And so I will live in my heart and hopefully grow day by day.
Thank you. Thank you.
This particular session with Don is particularly wonderful for me because I have been working with the process with a group of people. It grew out of a discussion about how much we are in fear, mm-hmm. how much fear dominates many of our lives. And so I researched a process to work with this and came up with this focusing from founded in Cynthia Bergeau's book.
Uh-huh.
I think it's called Mystic Jesus. I'm not sure if I have the correct title. Wisdom Jesus. Yeah, that's it. Wisdom Jesus. She has a whole section on this process.
I'm thrilled to know because Richard Rohr never mentions it.
Oh,
and
well,
she
does.
You know.
She does a beautiful job, uh-huh. and in it she takes you through three steps. The first one, focusing on getting into the body as you did with us. And then the second step is to welcome whatever comes up instead of resisting, which is the usual response. And then the last one is to let go. And I have adjusted that a little bit to making the intention to let go, because it's not always easy to let go of whatever comes up, as we know. So the intention to release the fear or whatever it is that what's been discovered in the exercise.
Yes, especially if you don't have a partner which invites you to let go.
Yes.
You have that as you built it in.
Right, right. And there's a certain amount of... for me, there was a little pressure about letting go because emotionally, I didn't feel ready to let go of all the whatever was coming up. So setting the intention to let go felt right. And then I did some research also and found that Father Thomas Keating has done a lot of work. Mm-hmm. Many of you may know of mm-hmm. Father Keating at Aspen. I think he's in Snowmass, Colorado. Mm-hmm. He and his group have done quite a bit of work around this as well, mm-hmm. and they have a guided meditation on YouTube. So uh-huh. you can see the guided meditation for going through the focusing, the welcoming, and the letting go, mm-hmm. if you're interested in that. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to access. Just put in Father Thomas Keating on Google, and it'll mm-hmm. come up. Okay? Thank
yes.
you.
YouTube is an incredible asset to these things. Cindy?
Thank you, Dawn, very, very much. Just for being you. I mean, it was just wonderful. I have a story that I heard yesterday on NPR, and I just thought it's either what we're up against or it's what we're a part of. And it was a story about literally a store. It was a bakery back east. And the health department came by to their normal kind of checking out things and did some sightings on what was dirty and what needed to be cleaned up. And then they left and they said, and by the way, you have to take love out of one out of your ingredients. And so the baker was being interviewed and he sounded like just a young guy, and you know, he says, but love is the major ingredient. And the health department says, I'm sorry, but it doesn't have any matter to it. And the baker said, I know it doesn't, but it's what makes our bakery and our breads, our homemade breads, so desirable to people, is that we come at it at that way. And I just thought, this is kind of where I am. I'm in between. I deal with the reality of the health department because that's important. I really honor what they do. And yet, we have to deal with the reality of love mm-hmm. in our ingredients. And we all know it. We all experience it. But it just reminded me of what you had to say, but also the whole book.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. You know, it is so wonderful when something is like love, to say love matters. It is mattering right before our eyes, you know. And that's why the felt sense is so important, because our body matters, and we have to know, we have to sense that matter. And so that play of words, I think, can keep us there. Yes.
Hi, Dawn.
Hi.
Well, you shed a lot of light on other stuff that I had been dealing with. I was with a group involved for about 9 years, and I had a difficult time with one person who took everything I said the wrong way, and I finally left the group, but it left me upset, and the churning in the mind, I couldn't get past it, from not sleeping well and to even getting a nauseous feeling in the stomach. And I felt like, how can I get out of myself? I just am sick of this, you know, literally. And I was doing laundry, and the thought occurred, God help me. And I was talking to angels too. Just help me to be myself again. And I clearly heard the answer, and it wasn't me. I don't know how else to say it. To have what you wish for, you have to wish it to the others. Uh-huh. And to have what you wish for, you have to wish it to the other. And then I go, okay, I want peace of mind and a joyful heart. So I started saying, I wish you, and I had in mind the other person and others, I wish you a peaceful mind and a joyful heart. And instantly, the nausea left. And I just felt the joy in my heart again. And when you say reconnecting with the force field,
yeah.
it was it was amazing because I couldn't on my own get out of it. I had this righteous loop
it
running in
great.
My head.
It is
you
great.
Know, it, the offended, you know,
yes.
innocent victim, it was just churning. And I go, ugh, I'm so tired of this. But anyway, I slept like a log that night, and I've slept well since. And it even changed my perception. I didn't even care anymore in the sense, it doesn't matter what made the other person do that. I just wish her well.
Uh-huh.
And that person can work it out. And it was, I felt liberated.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, it's amazing when we are welcoming help, what can surface, you know.
Yes.
So anyway.
It's actually a conversion experience.
It was, because I was pretty miserable with my
uh-huh.
self-pity and the whole thing, yeah.
yeah.
Anyway, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for taking me back to my childhood when I was raised Quaker in Berkeley. And we would go to Quaker meeting and sit for an hour and just listen to God. And I knew as a child, God talks to everyone all the time. It's who's listening. So today, when I had that quiet time, what I heard, okay, all right, what I heard was everything's going to be okay. And what I would like to ask, if anyone else heard something like that, if they would raise their hands.
Wow.
That's really amazing.
Yes.
And it's very confirming. And I used to practice it with, I converted to Catholicism. But I would come at it from a Quaker point of view also.
Sure.
Yeah. And so I'd say to my kids, okay, well, we're going to go to the zoo today, and their cousins would be there and had no religion at all. And so I would say, well, let's sit and listen to God. And so I would hear, do unto others.
You know? Mm-hmm.
And so I'd say, okay, when you hear God, then we can go to the zoo. So my defiant niece said, I don't hear anything. And so I said, okay, we're not going to the zoo until you do. So a couple minutes later, she says, oh, I hear it. I go, what do you hear? She goes, be nice. So that was, and then we were in South Africa in 1988, and I was kneeling and praying. And the people we were staying with, their four-year-old daughter came upstairs and said, what are you doing? And I go, oh, I'm just praying. She says, what are you saying? I go, no, I just listen. And so she said, oh, can I do that? And I go, I don't know. I'm going to go ask your parents or whatever. But she kneels down, and she's listening, and she says, oh, I hear her. So I was like, oh, now I'm in real trouble. Anyway, but thank you for that.
Yes.
I had a question, Don, that came up when you talked about the electromagnetic field. And what came to me was a memory from a lot of years ago when I had breast cancer and two of my girls do Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they kind of hold the hands out and they feel the field around the person, which happened to
mm-hmm.
be me. And so I'm wondering if that kind of radiation fits in with what you were talking about. I mean, it's different than
mm-hmm.
What you were saying, but
yes.
kind of what comes out without even thinking about it.
Yes. I don't want to wander into an area that I don't even know the correct words. I have that kind of experience. But I think it would be great to tell one of the people who's not here today is Pat McClure.
Mm, yeah.
And she has done a lot on this. But I, one of the things she does is on heart math, you know.
Yeah.
And when the heart is out of rhythm, you can just totally sort of collapse in on yourself. And when I was teaching at Pacifica, I was the top person, like the chair, of a dissertation on heart math. So I didn't have to learn it the way the person who was the advisor was. I just had her really look at the whole. But I learned it for the first time. And, I mean, it is totally amazing that when you're not congruent with your, with the heart, you can be really incapacitated. And when you're in tune, your voice goes so much further, so to speak. The felt sense has, you know, sort of no limit in time. And then part of that can be this experience I do like to call conversion, you know, where somebody, oneself, but others, are sort of brought back to their senses. And it can be measured. So you could, again, go online, look up heart math, and start wherever you see. This gal wasn't the founder of it at all. The founder, they've been doing it. I think it's a terrible name, personally. I was a math teacher, and somehow or the other, it doesn't go with calculus and everything else, but they got there first, and that's what they named it. But let's ask Pat when she comes back sometime to give you more input on that. But they worked with autistic kids. It's one of the, not, I don't want to say primary, but one of the tools that are used with autistic kids, because for the most part, they are most likely neuronally deficit. And they can actually build neurons that are missing for perception of other people's feelings. So they get to do it through the heart. And music is used a lot. You know, music has the ability, what's that quote, to tame man's hearts. Somebody know that line?
And I just will say my words were, be still and know that I am God.
Oh, wow. Yes, thank you. Yes. That kind of knowledge that you have at that place lasts a long time. You know, when you have a visitation, it lasts a long time. We still have a moment or two more for another one. No. Yes.
I just wanted to give some information about the healing, the spiritual healing, where Reiki is energy work. And then also there are at least two churches here in town that run clinics on spiritual healing, which, you know, involves an additional aspect. You can call in Jesus and you can call in angels. But the concept is similar to what you were saying, where you ask for the clearing. You ask for the, if you're a bowl, the removal of the pebbles from the bowl so that the light can flow through you for the highest good of the person that's receiving, that's in need of wholeness. And you put your hands either on them or above them, depending on what they and you like to do the best. And you usually will work on their energy centers, and it's measurable. And I am like a number one witness on how helpful it can be, how essential it can be sometimes, because I received it 3 times a week for several months while I was going through surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy. And it was amazing. It was, for me, I was so sick. It was good for 2 to 3 days. But this energy work, not only does it infuse you with additional energy if you're lacking in vitality, if you're, you know, ill or sad or whatever, but it also balances. Because it isn't just energy, it also has to be balanced, as you were saying. Apparently, if you take the energy of a single 60-watt light bulb and you bring it into coherence, it would create a laser that you could burn a hole on the sun 93 million miles away. You could write your name easily, recognizably, on the moon with such coherence. And so the concept of healing like that, you know, with energy, it's a complement to medical. But it can also be, if you get it in times of spiritual unhealth rather than physical unhealth, it can also be an avoidance of a medical problem in the first place. Mm-hmm. Because it's wholeness. You know, that's the root word for healing is heilen, which is wholing. It's wholing. It's mm-hmm. bringing you back into unity and mm-hmm. balance and connection. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
And the churches
are Trinity, and they do it on, not every Friday, but on Fridays. And the other churches, starting yesterday, is All Saints by the Sea. And we have a healing room, and we do it every other Wednesday. Mm-hmm. No. First and third Wednesday of the month.
And so, what is Pat McClure?
Pat is, so Pat, we'll all be taking turns, you know,
okay.
taking our turns.
Well, it's just that she's here. You know, she usually is here.
Yes, she's on vacation.
Yeah.
But you can have one or two people work on you.
Okay.
You know, and honestly, there's nothing magical. I mean, we've had a lot of training, but there's nothing magical about any of us, and our skill isn't what's doing it. It's the power of the spirit. It's the healing energy, mm-hmm. and so. Anyone can do it. You can do it for yourself, even. But it's and just ask, because when two or more are gathered, it's more powerful. But you can ask your mom, you know,
mm-hmm.
who's passed. You can ask your
mm-hmm.
angels to help you. It doesn't have to be two or more human beings sitting in the room if you don't have them handy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can give yourself. You can open yourself, or you can do it for a person that you care about, that you want to help them become whole. You simply clear the pebbles out of your bowl of light. You know, the impediments and your doubts or your hindrances. You just open yourself and set your intention, and then let the light pass through you, and just put your hands on that person with the intention of holding them. And you get mm-hmm. results. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think it's Colin. Colin?
Yeah. One more.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody remembers, 20 years ago, St. Francis Hospital had two healers.
Yeah.
One was hands-on healing, like Reiki, and the other one was prayer and healing. Is anybody aware of that, or do they ever experience
that? Were you
one
of them?
Huh?
Were you one of them?
Well, I didn't do it officially, but when I broke my femur 20 years ago, I knew that you can heal any broken bone in 72 hours through hands and healing. And that is because the heart has 10,000 times more energy than the brain, as you were saying earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do an EKG on you, they're measuring your electromagnetic current in your heart,
mm-hmm.
which comes out your hand. So God made it possible for everyone to do hands-on healing. And so I had a Reiki master come with my broken femur, and here's my broken femur. He worked 8 hours a day, 2 hours on and 2 hours off, but he did not know that you could heal a broken bone in 72 hours. So I said, okay, take your right hand, which is your positive side. It's like jumper cables. Put them behind your atlas and axis vertebrae, which is the mouth called the mouth of God. So I would sleep with my hand back there. It doesn't matter where your other hand is. You're just jumping.
Uh-huh.
And so we started Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And Sunday, my son had took my crutches, so I was either going to have to go to the bathroom on my mattress or my floor. Anyway, so I knew I had to walk like over to that closet on a broken femur. So I balanced myself, walked over there, and then on Monday I was scheduled to have surgery. So I went in walking on a broken femur. So that's how powerful hands-on healing is.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it's Catholic. You know, it's not hocus pocus, the Catholic Church actually validates. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. And I just wanted to say, I don't know that Mary knows, but Mary most likely knows that Mary and myself and another person, I think, cured my husband. He was diagnosed with idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. He should be dead now. That was 5 years ago. there was a shift in the room, and we said, if you have less lungs now, just use more of it. So you've got to become a singer. No, he was a singer already. You've got to sing every chance you have, because opera singers have more lung space, right? So just think opera singer. And here he is, 5 years after being told he has 2 years to live. And he's playing golf 6 days a week. Yes.
Thank you so much, Bonnie.
Thanks so much, Dawn. We all got so much out of this. And on the way, or all week long, be thinking of your bodily felt sense, all right? And the force be with you. See you next week.